Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the name of Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, this Sunday is a special day on the church calendar. It's called Palm Sunday. Perhaps for some of you, this is even an anniversary day. For many years in Lutheran churches, it was customary to confirm the youth on Palm Sunday. And without any good reason, of course, in recent years, that custom has no longer been followed. I'm old-fashioned. Throughout my ministry, I confirmed youth always on Palm Sunday. And no one, of course, has ever given me a good reason why we shouldn't do that anymore. In spirit today, we want to think back to what happened on the first Palm Sunday, almost 2,000 years ago. The sermon theme is the first Palm Sunday greeting. Our text is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 11, beginning at verse 7. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Indeed, the first Palm Sunday was a day of celebration. There was a huge procession of people coming into the city of Jerusalem. They were coming to celebrate the Old Testament Passover festival. At the head of the crowd, there was one person who was being honored, namely Jesus of Nazareth. He was greeted and given a hero's homecoming welcome by all of those who had come and assembled on the streets of Jerusalem. Although Jesus was riding on a colt of a donkey, it was still a royal reception. Some people placed their outer garments on the donkey to make it a comfortable ride for him. Others spread their outer garments along the streets, and then some had cut down the palm branches and they put those along the streets, and others were waving the palm branches and singing, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to the King who's coming in the name of the Lord. They greeted the Lord Jesus as the Son of David and as the Son of God. Indeed, Jesus was the Son of David according to the flesh. David was, of course, a descendant also of Abraham. And so Jesus is a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David. He was the seed of the woman, the seed of the woman that was promised when Adam and Eve first fell into sin. And God said he would send the seed of the woman who would crush and destroy the devil's power. Jesus was the one of whom the prophet Isaiah had written about 750 years earlier, and saying, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus was that virgin son of whom the prophet Isaiah had written all those years earlier. As he lived up and became older, he, of course, fulfilled the commandments of God in our place. He lived that perfect holy life for you and me. We can only marvel at what he did. He fulfilled the commandments of God where you and I so miserably fail. We think of the Ten Commandments, we look into the Ten Commandments, and it's like a mirror, and they reflect all of our failures and all of our sins. Yes, and then where is our hope? We don't look anymore into the law as to how we ought to live, but we then look to the Lord Jesus, the Son of God and the promised Savior. The evangelist John reports that the disciples at that particular time didn't always find it easy to believe what Jesus was teaching and what he was saying. And he referred especially to a particular time when he said many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you?" And then scripture goes on to report, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" That same searching question stands before us today. Let's not sit back and say, "Oh, what happened to the disciples way back then? That couldn't happen to us today." Most of you can perhaps think of someone who once was a follower of the Lord Jesus, and today they walk no more with him. No, they no longer worship him, they no longer sing his praises, they no longer even know how to pray to him. When the Savior asked that soul-searching question, "Do you also want to go away?" do you remember who the first one was to give an answer? It was the Apostle Peter, who said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life, and we know and are sure that you are the Son of God, our wonderful Savior." What a beautiful confession Peter made on that particular day. And then it was only a couple days later, and that very same disciple swore up and down that he didn't know who Jesus even was. However, what happened then, the Lord Jesus looked at him and caught his eye. You remember what happened? Peter went out and wept bitterly, scripture tells us. Yes, there were those who once followed Jesus, but they then later in life had a change of heart and they fell in love with all of the things of this world, and pretty soon they who once walked with Jesus walked with him no more. Life became a life of broken promises, of people who once pledged allegiance to the Lord Jesus, and then later they broke that promise, and so they went through life with one broken promise after another. Now, the Lord Jesus was very much concerned about his followers. On that first Palm Sunday evening, after he had received that great greeting and that wonderful welcome into the city of Jerusalem, our text tells us that he looked around in the city of Jerusalem, and then he took his disciples and he went out of Jerusalem to that little town of Bethany, which wasn't very far away, which was the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Jesus wanted to prepare his disciples for what lay ahead, and he wanted to spend just that evening with them. Here we have to remember that the disciples were under a lot of pressure. Yes, they were followers of the Lord Jesus. They confessed him, they had taught and preached about him, but the pressure was there, And so for them it was like it was for Adam and Eve in the beautiful Garden of Eden. They were under pressure by the devil. And Eve, of course, and Adam fell for the pressure of the devil, and they, of course, brought sin into the world. Now, the devil still is very active today. He's always around. And one of the things that he really wants people to say, as if they really believe it, is that there isn't even a devil. He doesn't even exist. And if he can convince people that he doesn't even exist, he, of course, has scored a great point. For then they don't worry about him, and, of course, they end up following him. Yes, the devil has many lies that he tells us. Scripture very clearly states, the devil is a liar and the father of it. And oh, look around in the world. Of all of the liars, of all of the followers that the devil has today. Yes, he, the father of lies, is still working to bring us away from the Lord Jesus and to the point where we deny our faith and hope. Now Jesus would also take you and me aside, and he'd ask us to look carefully into his word, what he tells us, and to remember, in order to remain faithful, keep in close contact with the word of God. One writer of the scripture after the other speaks of the promised Savior and the only hope that we have, believing and trusting in him as God's Son and our Redeemer. Moses wrote about him. Jesus said, Moses wrote about me. And then he quoted that Moses said the Lord would send a prophet like Moses who would direct the people to the Word of God. The psalmist in many places wrote about the Lord Jesus. And we have that striking psalm, Psalm 22, that describes that picture of Calvary in such precise words. They pierced my hands and my feet. They cast lots for my clothing. And of course, that very psalm starts out with the words that the Lord Jesus spoke on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Isaiah wrote about him. Isaiah said, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone unto his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then he is described as that lamb that was silently suffering to redeem us and to deliver us from sin and all of its consequences. Yes, search the scripture to find Christ. And when those words were first written that referred only to the Old Testament, the New Testament had not yet been written. Now you and I might think that Old Testament is exceedingly difficult, but God wants us to search the scriptures. And the word that's used, search, means to dig deeper and deeper into that word of God to hear that wonderful message of how greatly God has loved us. Yes, he loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son. And those who then believed on him at that time were singing his praise and his glory. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But only 5 days later, many in that same crowd were crying out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." 5 days earlier, they were praising and singing his praise and glory. And 5 days later, they were saying, "Get him out of here." Yes, the rejected Jesus is God's Son and your Savior and mine. And he paid the price so that you and I can hear that glorious message. Son, daughter, your sins are all forgiven. For that, praise and give all glory to God. May your life always be that. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.